The program you are now hearing is called Discovering Virginia. You'll hear about places you may not have known about, but which you might like to visit if only you knew they existed and what their significance is. For the Virginia Voice, I'm Lou Dean. In the next few minutes, you'll hear about historic sites in Chesterfield County that you might enjoy visiting. Brian Truzy is the historic site specialist for Chesterfield County's Department of Parks and Recreation, and he joins us in the studio. Brian, Discovering Virginia on the Virginia Voice, recently did a story about Bermuda Hundred during the Civil War. Tell us about the history of Bermuda Hundred.
Yes, Bermuda Hundred is one of the more really unique historical sites throughout Chesterfield County. The history there can be traced back over 400 years. There's a lot of wonderful African-American history there. We know that Sir Thomas Dale established Bermuda Hundred in 1613, establishing that as the first system of private land ownership in the English New World. It became the first incorporated town in English North America. During the colonial period, it was going to be used as a base of operations for the British forces. And during the American Civil War, Benjamin Butler landed roughly 40,000 federal troops there at Bermuda Hundred on his mission to attempt to capture Richmond. While he failed to do that, he did utilize Bermuda Hundred as a major base to supply the Union forces at City Point.
What followed at Bermuda Hundred after the Civil War?
Basically, after the Civil War, it opened up as a major railroad hub and transportation port there, basically through the middle part of the 1900s.
What is there today?
Today, if visitors would drive down to Bermuda Hundred, they will see a couple unique historic interpretive signs there. There are about seven individuals who currently reside at Bermuda Hundred. And right now it's a large industrial center there and close to Presque Isle National Wildlife Refuge.
What does it establish, Bermuda Hundred? For instance, Richmond was established at the fall line of the James. They couldn't get much farther up the James River.
Right.
What happened that they stopped at Bermuda Hundred where the Appomattox and the James meet?
The uniqueness with Bermuda Hundred is it was going to be a major port for incoming goods, whether that could be primarily tobacco. It would be the site of a customs house and tobacco inspection station. And during the American Revolution, Benedict Arnold raided and looted a lot of the plantations through here and burned a lot of the tobacco that was actually stored there at Bermuda Hundred.
It's interesting because you mentioned a port. It's still a very industrial area around Hopewell there now.
It is, yes, very much so.
Going on to some other places, Eppington Plantation is in the southwest part of Chesterfield County, and it was named for the Epps family, which had a connection with Thomas Jefferson. Tell us about this.
Eppington Plantation is a wonderful old plantation home, which was built roughly about 1770. Francis Epps VI and Thomas Jefferson were brother-in-laws, and they both married two half-sisters of a man by the name of John Wales. And we know that Jefferson actually spent some time there at Eppington, and he was actually present at Eppington when he received George Washington's invitation to be this country's first Secretary of State. And when he was going to be Minister of France, he actually sent his two youngest daughters with Sally Hemings to stay at Eppington with the Epps family. The plantation is listed on the National Register of Historic Places. It once was close to roughly 4,000 acres in size and would have been one of the largest plantations here in Chesterfield County at the time.
What has happened to Eppington since the era of the Epps family?
The house has transferred hands with a variety of different families. Presently, the Chesterfield County Department of Parks and Recreation is in cooperation with a private foundation, the Eppington Foundation, and I work directly with them, and we organize an annual event which is held at Eppington every year, the first Saturday in October, which is referred to as our Eppington Heritage Day. And I also offer a variety of different tours there for the public. and different workshops for homeschool children and scouts there.
Brian, give us what amounts to an audio tour of Eppington.
Okay, Eppington is just a wonderful, unique facility there, with a lot of the original woodwork still intact, all of the original floors there. On the first floor in the fireplace, we have the only coal grate that is still remains there in the house. And as coal was going to be an integral part to the expansion and industrial history of Chesterfield County, the rail lines would have run directly through that area, bringing coal that would have originally been used to heat the home. We are working to attempt to preserve as much of the house as possible. And as we speak, there is major restoration undergoing on the house, and the roof will be replaced next spring, and we're doing a lot of work on the interior of the house now.
I mentioned it was in the southwest part of Chesterfield County, I guess near the Winterpock area.
Yes.
How do people get there?
The easiest way is from Hall Street on 360 to turn on Winterpock Road and follow Winterpock out to Black Road, and that will tie you into to River Road.
Are there signs?
Yes. We do have a number of historical interpretive direction signs to get people to Eppington.
You are hearing from Brian Truzzi, who is the historic site specialist for Chesterfield County's Department of Parks and Recreation. Brian, people may not know that the first iron production facility in North America was established at Falling Creek in what is today Chesterfield County. What is the history of this facility?
This is a really another unique microcosm of the history of Chesterfield County, Lou. This was the location of what would become the first iron furnace in the English New World that dates back to 1619. We know that samples of iron ore were collected as early as 1608 and shipped back to England, and the Virginia Company of London was looking at utilizing all of these resources here and establishing what they hoped would be the beginning of an industrial revolution here and shipping all of these resources back to England. We know from archaeological evidence there have been a recovery of wrought iron spikes and nails, axe heads that were produced there. The first expedition, which started in 1619, led by Captain Blewett, experienced a lot of hardships on their journey here to the New World. And they had to organize a second expedition led by John Berkeley in 1621. And he came with his son Maurice, and they brought an apothecarist, so they would have their own hospital and medical care. And they got everything operating, running. But on Good Friday, on March 22, 1622, Native American Indians, under Chief Opican Canoe, Powhatan's son, they organized a major offensive throughout this entire region, and they burned the iron furnace to the ground. And nearly 27 of the iron workers were killed in that process.
You mentioned coming from England. The purpose of the original colonists was really to bring a profit to the companies back in England.
Exactly.
Whether it be tobacco, whether it be iron, whether it be coal, whatever. It was a commercial project.
It was. And they were hoping that this would be a successful venture. But that wouldn't be the end of industrial history there at Falling Creek. Numerous attempts were made to rebuild the iron furnace. But we do know that Archibald Carey, in the 1700s, actually established a forge there. And he was producing weapons for the colonial troops during the Revolution. And then later that would be turned into a gristmill. That was in operation until the early part of the 1900s.
A number of Virginia counties, including King and Queen, have historic courthouse greens. But today, we're focusing on Chesterfield County with Brian Truzzi. Brian, go back to colonial days and give us the history of Chesterfield's historic courthouse green.
Sure. The actual village of Chesterfield, which started, derived from originally Henrico County. We were created in 1749, and we were a very small hamlet at that time. And the uniqueness of the courthouse green is it was going to be right at the intersection of where five major roads convene. And the need for the expansion of Chesterfield was going to precipitate the construction of a courthouse, which the first courthouse, first colonial courthouse, actually sat on the courthouse green where the present-day 1917 colonial courthouse stands. And that courthouse would last for over 200 years. And the courthouse green was going to be a site of a major colonial encampment set aside by Thomas Jefferson in 1780. He was going to bring in a man by the name of Baron von Steuben, a Prussian drill master whose job was to train and equip these young Chesterfield men to meet the threat of the British forces here. And indeed, British troops did their fair share of damage throughout Chesterfield and the region in 1781.
Did a complex grow out of that courthouse green?
It did, very much so. At one point, there were three earlier jails that once sat on the courthouse green. We had one jail that was built around 1770, which actually imprisoned Baptist preachers for the crime of itinerant preaching. That eventually led to passage of laws to preserve our religious freedom and liberties, which Patrick Henry and Thomas Jefferson embraced. A number of these Baptist preachers' trials would have been held in the old colonial courthouse that sat on that courthouse green. Today we have one last old jail that still sits there, built in 1892, of which we have restored the original jail cells upstairs in that old jail.
Any other buildings other than the jail that were part of the courthouse green at that time?
Not presently, no. The other buildings that are located on the courthouse green have come afterwards. We have the replacement of the first colonial courthouse, the 1917 courthouse, which stands there, and two other buildings which would have served as one of the earliest buildings for the clerk of courts.
Now, of course, if people go to the Chesterfield Courthouse today, they're looking at a very modern 20th, 21st century structure.
Yes.
Where, in relation to that, is the courthouse green?
The courthouse green actually sits directly in the center of the main Chesterfield County complex, right off of Iron Bridge Road, basically between Beach and Krause Roads. The visitors can actually visit the Chesterfield County Museum, which was actually constructed in 1980 as a replica of that first colonial courthouse. And they can pick up a map with a tour of the colonial courthouse green, and which will point out some important features for them.
Brian, you work for Chesterfield County's Department of Parks and Recreation. What is the relationship to the Chesterfield Historical Society?
The Chesterfield Historical Society is basically the main center for a lot of research and genealogical history throughout Chesterfield County. They were chartered in 1981, and they have had a number of offices in some of the historic buildings that are presently located on the courthouse green. I work with them and conduct a lot of historical programming and organize a lot of special events for the Chesterfield Historical Society of Virginia.
Well, certainly Parks and Recreation does its own interpretation and own programs, but they help. It's a cooperative effort?
Very much a cooperative effort, yes. We have had a wonderful relationship with the Historical Society, and they accomplish so much just on the basis of the volunteers that put in thousands of hours every year to assist the visitors in the county. And they have a variety of different committees in which these volunteers are actively involved, and I work with a number of them on a regular basis with the number of my programs or organizing events and even fundraising events for the Historical Society.
I don't want to open up a can of worms here, but you mentioned they also do genealogy. Can people contact them if they're thinking that their ancestors may have lived in Chesterfield?
Yes, very much so. And presently, they're main offices and research library are located at historic Trinity Church at the corner of Krause and Iron Bridge Roads, directly across from Castlewood, which has been the home of the Chesterfield Historical Society. And if anyone is interested in learning a little bit more about their ancestors, we have volunteers that work at Trinity on a regular basis. They're more than happy to assist the public with digging a little bit more into their family history, certainly.
Is there a history of Castlewood?
There is, yes. Yes, Castlewood was actually built in 1817 by Park Poindexter, one of the earlier clerk of courts for Chesterfield County. And the Historical Society has had their offices and research library inside Castlewood. And we have just finished a major restoration of the exterior of Castlewood. And we're working on preserving the interior as well before the Historical Society offices eventually move back there.
I've asked you about a number of places in Chesterfield County, a number of historic places. What haven't we talked about?
Oh, gosh, little jewels throughout the county here. We have 8 separate Civil War sites throughout Chesterfield County, and I do a variety of different Civil War driving tours and walking tours of those facilities. We have Midlothian Mines Park, which was the site of the first commercial coal mines in North America. They're just a variety of wonderful historic sites that we have in Chesterfield and throughout the county, and the public has numerous opportunities to explore these, and we do a variety of different activities and programs there for them.
You mentioned walking tours and driving tours. How do people find out when those are scheduled? Or are they on a regular basis?
They are. The majority of my programs are actually advertised on the Chesterfield Historical Society of Virginia's website. They can find out information there by visiting chesterfieldhistory.com. And also, the Parks and Recreation Department publishes a program guide 3 times a year. And we list all of our programs on there, and they can learn about a lot of the other historical programs and events that I offer by picking those up for free at any of the Chesterfield County branch libraries, or we can have one mailed to their house for them.
People may be surprised that all of this history is right here and available. It's not been bulldozed away.
Correct. That's where we're very fortunate. We have done a lot of work to preserve as much of these historical sites as possible, and we're very thankful that they will be saved for future generations.
Brian Truzy is the historic site specialist for Chesterfield County's Department of Parks and Recreation, and he's been telling us about historic sites right here in Chesterfield County. You are listening to Discovering Virginia on the Virginia Voice. And for the Virginia Voice, I'm Lou Dean.